Hello there. Welcome to this episode of Forest Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King. And this week, along with Mrs. Forest Ghost Conversations, Elise King, we'll be discussing episode 9 from season 3 of The Bad Batch titled The Harbinger. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to support Forest Ghost Conversations on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there will be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Also, please be sure to check out our Tee Public store to buy some Forest Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Forest Ghost Conversations. Hey everybody, this is Anthony King, host of Forest Ghost Conversations, and boy, do we have a stellar episode for you here today. Episode 9 of Season 3 of The Bad Batch, The Harbinger. Full spoiler discussion, so you know the drill. If you haven't watched the episode yet, be sure to go watch it on Disney+. And like Mrs. Forest Ghost Conversations will even surmise, you should maybe even consider checking out a synopsis for Dark Disciple, or even read the book by Christy Golden before watching or tuning into this episode, because we get into full spoiler territory. Now, before we get into that main topic discussion here, let's run through the news that we had for this week in the Star Wars and Lucasfilm adjacent galaxy. And to be frank, there wasn't a whole lot, because last week there was a plethora, if you will, of news in that space. The only thing that I could really categorize as being a news item this week was the, you know, if you're going to be in Disneyland, I saw that they were going to release a Jabba the Hutt popcorn bucket, which looks awesome. We have a video on our socials available from Disney Parks, which you can go check out now. It looks great. If you're in the Disneyland area, I believe they're having it through the Season of the Force that they're doing over there, which I believe starts in April and goes through May, which is going to see like an overlay of the Hyperspace Mountain for Space Mountain, and a whole ton of new food items and fun things that are happening. The additions to Star Tours are coming as well. So a lot of great stuff coming that way. And if you're a fan of popcorn buckets and Jabba the Hutt and that menagerie, then this is absolutely up your alley and you should make every effort to go get it. But that is all of the news that I had compiled for this week's episode. And let's get to the main event itself. You know what we're talking about. We're here to talk Bad Batch. And just on the other side of this short break, we'll be back with that full spoiler discussion for episode 9 of season 3 of The Bad Batch, The Harbinger. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Force Ghost Conversations, everybody. I gotta tell you what. If you watch the Bad Batch trailer at the beginning of the season, it gave you the precursor to what was going to happen, and you saw that reveal, this was the episode you were waiting for. We're talking episode 9, The Harbinger, today. And of course, to have a full-length conversation about it, none other than Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations herself, Elise King, is back to share her thoughts. Elise, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I've just been letting this episode kind of sink in, been mulling it over, and excited to talk about it today.
Yeah, full spoiler alert to anybody at home. If you have not seen the episode yet, golly gee, you gotta turn it on now.
And then, Dark Disciple the book.
And maybe read brush up on Dark Disciple, perhaps. Go read a Wikipedia entry on it so that you know what we're talking about. Or go read the book yourself. I mean, if you want to. It's really great. I recommend it. But you've been forewarned. So we are now back into our spoiler conversation. And yeah, I think that was where I ended the episode at too, where it just cut to the end credits and I went, huh.
Yeah, I could see that if like you were just so gassed to see Ventress again, and that's like what you were most excited about for this whole season, I could see why it would be a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, you didn't get a lot of answers as to why she's back.
Which is 100% Star Wars. Mm-hmm. How many times do they like to tease before they dive underwater to show the full iceberg?
Right. And here's an interesting perspective, too, that I saw online, where it's like, if you've let's just say you're a casual fan, you watch the shows, you have no idea about like the further conversations that are happening via books and comics and stuff like that. You don't know there's other discourse and stories about Ventress. So you're just thinking, oh, return of a character that we saw in the Clone Wars, right? It's for them to then do the deeper dive. So it's really for this like you know, 15-20%, however many people actually do those deeper dives into that, that are like, oh, what about the canon? What about this stuff? What? How does it line up? Tell me.
I know.
Which I am one of those people.
I know. Honestly, I was kind of glad this wasn't my end-all be-all for this season, because I came in, honestly, you had to remind me at some point.
Yeah, I did.
And I was like, oh, that's right. That's like, oh, yeah, that'll be fun. And I'm glad that's the mindset I came into it with, because I was just, like, happy to see. I just love to see the Bad Batch and Omega just reacting against these characters we've mm-hmm. liked in the past. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Ventress's interactions with Hunter and Crosshair and Wrecker are funny in this episode. And I think if I'd been waiting for some big moment, it would have been a little, I would have been let down, because it was a more mild episode in terms of reveals.
Right.
And, but I have to say, I don't think they just bring Ventress back for nothing. Star Wars always plants things in series and then takes it and runs with it in the future. And I'm like, it would be so easy for them to do this with Ventress.
Yeah, I think they actually really could set up future. I mean, they did a great backwards pilot in a way of setting up future stories.
Yeah.
And they also set up the future story, because they've said on StarWars.com, the people that have, they did an interview with the team.
Okay.
Since this episode came out and released it, that they're going to tell the how of Ventress coming back in other stuff. So whether that is another book, a comic, maybe Tales of the Jedi season 2, that's going to be on the table.
Oh, I'm so smart. It's like I've watched so much Star Wars that mm-hmm. I can notice patterns.
Yeah.
They don't just bring Ventress back for this one episode.
And within the episode too, it wouldn't make sense to just like pull out a PowerPoint of being like, and here's how I came back from dying.
No, they wouldn't care at all.
Also, because like the Bad Batch doesn't care. They don't know that she's dead.
No, they just care that she's
they had no connection
there.
To her. They just were like, you were literally a Wikipedia entry mm-hmm. on text data pad to be like, you were bad during Clone War. Must stop.
I mean, okay, so I didn't read Dark Disciple, mm-hmm. but you spoiled a little bit because I asked for it.
I have, yes.
So after that episode, are you confused? Because Dark Disciple ends with what?
It ends with Ventress sacrificing herself for Quinlan Vos.
So she's dead.
So she is dead. They do a full like burial ceremony.
It's not like a fade to black. We didn't see the body situation.
Nope. Full funeral, if I recall correctly. Full funeral. Bury her lightsabers with her and all that. You know, I think the Jedi do a great job in that book of honoring her. For the sacrifice that she made. And that's kind of the full stop there on that one.
So there's some gaps to fill, because you said in earlier stuff, the creators said they recognize that that was canon and that they're not going to.
Yeah, they said we're fully respecting the story that was told in that and honoring it. So they got some explaining to do, I think, you know, how she comes back. So again, someone's going to be take up that mantle.
Yeah.
But you know, just like Maul was once gone and comes back, there's an explanation for that. It's not out of the realm of possibility that, you know, witch sisterhood and coven that engages in necromancy and creates zombie stormtroopers in Ahsoka couldn't feasibly bring someone back from the dead.
Yeah.
You know, she has that tongue-in-cheek line that I rolled my eyes about in this episode, where she's like, I've still got many lives left or something like that.
Yeah.
She ends with something. Like, okay.
They got into it.
I was like, okay, you guys did it. You did it. You got me there.
Did you like her hair? I thought it was weird.
And that's how it is in Dark Disciple too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was weird to see like a military-esque.
No, I honestly, you would love Dark Disciple. Again,
I know. I'm not saying I'm not gonna read it.
I think if you read it, that would be your favorite Star Wars book, knowing you.
All right, it's going on the list. I mean, I have a long list. What can I tell you? But
just the way you enjoyed Dark Side and getting into that thought process and mindset, and then people be feeling tortured about themselves.
I do like when
this
feel
is
tortured.
It's really up your alley. So again, I highly recommend it to both you and anybody that's listening that wants to dive in more, because it was based off of unfinished Clone Wars when they canceled it originally. a few years back. Like, that was a story arc that they were going to do in the Clone Wars. And and then Disney was like, hey, use those scripts to write a book. And then that was like one of the first canon books.
Interesting.
When Disney took over. So I'm glad that they're continuing to keep it canon.
Keep it alive.
Yeah, because that's the complaint that people have with like books and comics is like, why should I invest my time into this if you're just going to keep retconning stuff that happens in it?
Yeah.
So I hope that it keeps that intact, because then they don't lose that audience and people that have gained their trust and interest and spent a lot of time and hours into feeling like, you know, these are real stories that matter.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, that's a good perspective. And it was another case of Omega charming the hat off, or charming, mm-hmm. whatever that phrase is, charming Ventress.
The pants off?
Yeah, the pants off. Thank you. Of Ventress, and Ventress like wanting to protect her and train her. And I wanted to ask like about the lie she tells at the end.
Mm-hmm. Like, what do I think about it?
Yeah.
What do I think is true and what's not true?
Mm-hmm. What do you think matters and doesn't matter?
Look, I don't know if she has a high M count. I'm going to assume she has a high M count because
of the test
that literally the Empire did.
Yeah.
How Ventress can tell without actually checking the blood, who knows? She's probably
from those tests that you're just
like she's probably just spitballing. But frankly, it's not safe for anybody to have Force sensibility whatsoever at this time, right? The Inquisitors are hunting down people that even exhibits like, ooh, I can lift a rock. Yeah. Like, it's not safe for anybody at this time. So even the fact that she could exhibit any sense of Force sensitivity.
I just thought it was an interesting way to tell a story, because I'm a big believer of like, clue the audience in, right? Mm-hmm. Don't just like hide it away. Unless, I mean, in this type of storytelling, like, clue the audience in. And I honestly didn't see anything in those tests from outside of like, if we didn't know the MCAL test came back positive,
mm-hmm.
I didn't see anything in those tests that say, wow, Omega is Force sensitive beyond like the average person, mm-hmm. is connected to the Force.
Yeah, and I'm still confused about the overall, like, what does it matter? Because if everyone has a midichlorian count, maybe hers is just high enough that it passes a threshold that there's the, they keep saying M count transfer, right? And that's what they were focusing on, is like maybe her blood, her specimen is one that can actually transfer DNA into a host.
That's
all I was thinking about, was the purpose of that. Not necessarily that she has an M count.
Yeah, it made it more, even though they said the glorious word of midichlorian and you were so validated.
Oh, yes. We'll talk about that in a good minute.
It didn't add any clarity, because mm-hmm. I was like, we didn't see anything that would say she's Force sensitive, and we've seen younglings like be tested.
Mm-hmm.
And so either Ventress saw something that the audience wasn't clued in on, which is weird to me, because like we as the audience could be clued in even if Omega's not, but they like hid that,
mm-hmm.
except at the end when saying she is. And then I was like, maybe she does have an M count, but like Ventress said in the beginning, just because you have midichlorians doesn't mean you're a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, maybe it is more just like she has M counts and she has this other ability to like, her blood allows her to transfer, like you said, or there's just something extra. But I was I personally was glad Omega didn't show like outright Jedi abilities, because especially coming right after Ahsoka, I'm like tired of everyone having to be a Jedi.
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right. Like, just because you have the Force and the ability to wield it doesn't mean you're a Jedi. In fact, you know, you're not a Jedi, because being a Jedi is a discipline.
I guess I meant, okay, then I just not being a Jedi, everyone being like,
everyone having Force sensitivity, having like the ability to use the Force whenever you want. Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm just like, I guess the whole point is like anyone and everyone could tap into something greater than themselves. Okay.
Yeah.
But beyond the lesson, I'm like, can Omega just be cool because she's Omega, mm-hmm. and like, mm-hmm. she's a really cool clone?
Yeah, I hear you on that one. I think that's That's a fair feeling to have, in my opinion, right? There is this oversaturation in a way of like, oh, they're a force user, they have the force, or, you know, what is the limit to, I think without putting words in your mouth, it sounds like you're like, couldn't we just have a story where it's just these guys that are quote unquote almost normal like us, and we relate to them in a bit more of a way because of that, rather than adding this supernatural essence into it?
Yeah, I think maybe I think there's a part of that. I wouldn't mind if the storytellers are trying to show why Clone Force 99 is quote unquote defective. Like, I think that's an interesting story, mm-hmm. of what makes them so different from other clones, other than like the one or two like heightened abilities they have.
Yeah.
If there's something deeper than that, that would be really interesting to know. But for it to boil, like, there's so many things it could be, and for it to boil down to they can use the Force, I don't know. It just seems like a tired storytelling thing. And maybe mm-hmm. that's me being like, I don't really believe, like, it's hard to swallow that Sabine's that Force sensitive. And like, the story.
You're still dealing with a wound from months ago.
Not a wound, but just like the storytellers didn't convince me, or like, I don't like Sabine enough to be excited for her. I don't know, but I was just like.
Or you like Sabine the way she was.
Yeah, like, I guess I just think they're more
a cool weapons person that was willing to.
I mean, Mandalorians are cool anyways. Yeah. So I was just like, this is a big galaxy with many different types of people. Can we highlight those many types of people instead of it boiling mm-hmm. down to, are you Force sensitive to the point where you can use it
right.
or not?
Yeah, in a way, like why Rogue One and Solo are cool is because they are kind of that palate cleanser.
Yeah, like I really enjoy that side. And I was thinking, with Omega, I was like, oh, maybe the way we'll see she's Force sensitive is through her connection with animals.
Mm-hmm.
Or like maybe it's with how everyone, even if they're on the wrong side, like seems to love her, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it's like some sort of Force ability that she's like just has more influence than others on living things.
Okay, yeah.
But it's like a very limited thing, almost like mm-hmm. Hunter's ability to track and Wrecker's ability to, you know,
right.
blow stuff up.
Right, right. Her empathy, yeah. in a way, is her superpower.
So at some point I was like, I don't understand I think it's interesting how they're doing storytelling here, because it seems like they're keeping things from the audience
mm-hmm.
on purpose while the characters are figuring it out. And also at the same time, I was just glad that we didn't get a definitive answer, because I was like, I don't want it to be the same story again.
Right, right, right. Well, and it sets up a lot of questions. I think that's why my thing was just, huh. Because I'm like, I don't know.
So what are your biggest questions?
Where this goes. Well, I think my biggest question is, did this set up the potential end of this series through her, Asajj Ventress, hinting at the potential of her having Omega, that being her, having connectivity to the Force and needing to learn how to utilize it in order to protect herself in an even further way? Did it set up this ending where it's they go their separate ways and she goes off to train?
I thought about that.
Like, is that the ultimate ending of this situation. Is we let go?
I thought about it and I immediately was like, oh. I think also that's why I'm being so defensive of mm-hmm. like, I don't want this.
Yeah.
Because I want them to stay together. They're a family.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I want that too.
Can like one freaking Star Wars family stay together, even if they have to suffer to get there?
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh, I could see this being another like Mandalorian Grogu situation. But instead of Grogu actually choosing mm-hmm. Mandalorian,
one way,
again,
yeah.
She leaves because it's the only way, given how
she wants to learn more about herself.
Yeah. And then Hunter and all them don't have anything else to do but fight to make sure she's never hunted again. And then they end up getting old and dying for the cause.
Yeah, perhaps.
So I was just like, oh, that hurts my heart. So much. Like, that makes me legitimately sad even saying about it,
mm-hmm.
even talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to envision that.
Yeah. But I mean,
but what is the show if not learning how to become something new again?
I know. I just don't want them to have to learn anything else.
Haven't they learned enough in their life?
But I mean, Ventress said over and over in those last minutes of mm-hmm. the show, I've, or like even throughout, like, I found you easily. You're not as hard to find as you think.
Yep.
I was like, really? How much more foreshadowing can we have that they are not safe?
Well, I guess that's my, what was my next question is like, well, how long can this facade of peace linger?
Do you think they reach out to any Jedi they know or like can find to see if they'll help Omega? Like, do we see?
No, I think they'll, I think, I'm purely speculating here, I think they are going to continue on the path that they are until they can't. Until there's absolutely no way for them to feel like they can protect her in the utmost way.
This freaking conversation making me want to cry, and I'm not here for
it. Well, that's why it's called Harbinger.
I told you at the beginning, I was like, this is not a good sign.
She's the harbinger of a lot of truths for them, right? This is the truth of, in a way, that she does have force sensibility, the truth of what M-Count is. Perhaps facing the truth of having to let go of her.
They would just, like, shrivel to ghosts of themselves without her. You cannot tell me they wouldn't.
I don't know, yeah. I can't envision a glorious future for them afterwards.
Makes me so freaking mad.
But, you know, we've got 5 episodes left. Who knows what comes of it.
Yeah.
So then my other question after that is, well, is Ventress the one to train her? Is that our next our next series? Is Ventress and Omega going off into the unknowns of the world, of the galaxy, trying to,
or maybe it's like a Mandalorian learn? Boba Fett type situation where all the stories intersect and it's like Rex's story intersecting.
Yeah, it could just be this Ventress. More, it's called the Dark Times or something like it's that. And it's just these like 3 episode arcs of something like that where they exist, and then it's the next one and the next one. And then they have a season finale that they all come together. I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
With 5 episodes left, it just makes me think some of the characters will continue into other series. Because there's just too much unknown, right? There's too many questions.
Yeah, they got a lot to tell
five
us.
5 episodes.
And they chose not to tell us one of the biggest questions of this series, to then say someone else will handle that.
Yeah.
That I think they'll just say someone else can handle some of this other questions that will be outstanding too.
I mean, a 3-season show to me says we want to tell a story, but it's also a connector piece between other stories we need to
mm-hmm.
tell.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the end, right? Because like Clone Wars could have technically ended and it was long enough.
Yeah, let's just say
people
weren't really asking for a Bad Batch show at the time, or a show like the Bad Batch, where it was kind of like continuing the Clone Wars series, like a season 8 or 9 of Clone Wars, if you will, to expand upon that and kind of close some of those chapters and doors.
Yeah.
But then it became its own thing. I would say around season 2, it really morphed into like, okay, now we have our own identity as the Bad Batch. We can really focus on these character relationships rather than having to like, all right, we got to tell you where the Zilla Beast is. We got to introduce Hera. We got to show how Kanan survived Order 66. We don't need to.
But now we're kind of doing that again.
But now, yeah, we're setting
like
our own.
Out the lines for the next show.
It's the tip of the iceberg. This is true to fashion.
Yeah, tip of the iceberg. We just enough to be like, that's a story, but then being like, I have still 100 questions.
Mm-hmm. And that's frankly where I was just like, wow, I don't have answers right now. I need to wait for next week. And to speculate is really hard because they'll probably just throw a curveball at me. And why ponder with the unknown when I have no clue of what the unknown could be?
Yeah.
I'm just like sitting in the ether and you're like, all right, great episode. Enjoyed it. Fun action.
Can we talk about the funny moments before we get so down on like Omega splitting from...
Yeah, so one of the unintentional funny moments, I would say, for us was the fight sequence where the animation style kind of changed on us.
Yeah,
and it took you and I out of it. Like, we rarely in an episode like look at each other and go, what? And this was one of those instances.
And I was like, is it just me?
Are we both looking at this?
I was like, have we seen hand to hand? I mean, I know we've seen really interesting.
Is our TV lagging?
Yeah.
Is something up?
But you were like, is this stop motion?
Like, I feel like they're just doing like stop motion approach. Like, did Tippett studio, did Phil Tippett come in and show them how to like do stop motion in terms of their fight sequences? I mean, it's just only jarring for a second and you're like, oh, okay, I'm back in it now. This is great.
Yeah, but you're just like, what? So yeah, I have no idea what it was. I don't know if they ran out of money.
Or did it cut? This is what they spent their budget on. I don't know. I don't know how this works.
Yeah, it was just very different. That was
because we've seen lightsaber fights, especially from Clone Wars and all that, and those are fluid. Yeah, so fluid. This seemed like jerky in a way, and I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know. I don't have an opinion on that. I like seeing them fight, and I thought it was cool how she was like, "Go do this, Omega. Go up that mountain while we fight here." It's kind of. Kind of reminded me of like a real world thing where like parents would be like, go outside and play. Why they need to have a deep conversation or something like that.
And it just showed like how outmatched they are against a force user.
Yeah, and that's Ventress, right? That's like no knocking Ventress or anything like that. But if it was like the Emperor came down, like they'd have no hope or a prayer.
But I was glad that it was like she could still take them on with some level of difficulty because it showed they're good clone. They really are Clone Force 99, but also it validates that like, yeah, Jedi could take on 10, 20, 30 clones
absolutely
and be okay. So it just showed, yeah, like the Bad Batch shouldn't be just as good as a Jedi or
Force. And they're the best of the best too.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. It was fun to watch them like.
And she had that good banter like she did in the Clone Wars.
Yep.
Like that almost flirtatious kind of banter.
That sass with like the low raspy
right,
voice.
Right. Honestly, I didn't look up the voice actress, but I saw a picture of her.
Yeah.
What do you think the voice actress looks like for Ventress? Well, you're looking it up now before you actually.
I would think like an older woman.
An older woman that smoked 2 packs a day since she was 10, right?
Maybe a little less, but yeah.
All right. Just look up Ventress voice actress. And, I will say I was like, whoa, that's not what I was expecting. That's positive too. Like this has a different voice than at least the voice acting is really well done. I was expecting some 70-year-old woman that has been some like Sue Dillon, some Sue Dillon-esque from TikTok, if you know what I'm like talking about.
She's like a goth queen.
Yeah, exactly.
But like not super goth. But yeah, she looks she's gorgeous, super fun. But she does have that like dark energy vibe that I think Ventress would.
She's able to channel that into the conversation. Yeah. But I saw the picture, I was like, whoa, that's not what I was expecting at all.
Yeah, I remember seeing all this stuff of like voice actors are actors too. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, they are. Because you just have no idea.
Ask D. Bradley Baker, he'll tell you.
Yeah.
And then the elephant in the room that we haven't discussed. They said the word.
Yes. Oh, wait. For one thing, one funny thing I thought.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
One of my favorite things was when Omega and Ventress are on the boat.
Yeah, I have a feeling. I'm ready for it.
And Clone Force 99 is, like, looking through the binoculars at them and, like, spying on them. And Ventress sees them and Crosshair's like, And then there were a couple moments between Crosshair and Ventress where I was like, I could see some fanfic about these two characters. There was some chemistry there.
They've already, people have already done the ship name.
What is it?
Well, it's a family-friendly podcast, but I will say the word.
Okay.
Ass hair.
Why?
Asajj and Crosshair. Oh, okay. Ass hair.
I was thinking Ventress and Crosshair. That's not great. That's not a great one. But audience, I have to say there were those moments, and then I side-eyed Anthony on the couch, and he looked at me and shook his head and was like, don't say it.
Kids show, I don't think they're going to do it.
But there was some, because they have equal levels of sass.
But, like, Ventress does that with everybody.
She didn't do it as much with Hunter or Wrecker.
Ventress chooses the strongest one and then
manipulates them.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Read Dark Disciple.
No, I'm just saying, I saw an Enemies to Lover fanfic panning out.
Read Dark Disciple.
I know she has the thing with the guy.
Read Dark Disciple. Yep, I told you. It's everything you like in stories. It was literally created for you.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so that I want to say that.
And on the boat too.
Was really funny.
On the boat too, when they first leave, she's like, stop smiling. It's unsettling.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just really fun to see these characters we know from completely different contexts interacting with someone like Omega. It makes characters act differently. And that's my favorite thing of when we see worlds come together it's mostly so we can see how characters interact. Like, it's just all of our fan visions, like, playing out, and it's so fun to see on screen. So I like Ventress being an episode purely for that reason alone.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll get more of her.
Well, if it's with Omega and her on a journey without the boys, I don't want it.
At what cost? At what cost?
I don't want it. All right, but yeah, they said you screamed.
I said, hallelujah. I think I said some other choice words too, but this is a family-friendly podcast, so I will not utter them in this setting. But they did it. They said the word. Ventress said the word, which wouldn't have been on my bingo card of people to say the word midichlorian. I can tell you that I would have been like, she's dead. She ain't saying it. How is she coming back? But they said it, and it was kind of nonchalant. It wasn't like this big reveal, like, M count, you mean midichlorian?
But if they don't know what M count is, then saying midichlorians wouldn't change their reaction.
He's like, M count, yeah, that's your midichlorian count. She just says it so nonchalantly. She's like, I'm unable to test your midichlorian count or something. Like, that's kind of how she just says it in a sentence like that without like full on stop. Like,
they just keep going.
And I was like, oh, and she said it.
Because not everyone has the baggage you have with this whole issue.
Yeah, and now I'm healed.
You're healed from it?
It's just, it's, wow, almost, it's over 20 years since I can remember someone saying midichlorian. I don't know if they say it in Clone Wars. I don't recall it, but no, it's in there. Sorry, it's in Clone Wars, so it's been at least since 2013 that they said it, because I remember them now in my head about that Yoda arc where he kind of figures out how the start of how to do the Force Ghost stuff.
Okay.
So it's been, over 10 years since they've said the word, and I know, and that, frankly, it's the first time in the Disney era that they've said it, which that was a lot of the speculation as well. Oh, will they distance themselves from that? Will they not? And
it's still Lucasfilm at the helm.
It's a vindication.
So
we're in Phantom Menace season. We're getting to May, 25th anniversary of the re-release of Phantom Menace, which I hope you all get your tickets for. Where they say it a lot. They say, oh, Master Qui-Gon, what are midichlorians? And then he explains it to you in this great fatherly way. Well, midichlorians are microscopic organisms in your body.
So you and the internet feel healed now.
Me and a subset of the internet, are pretty happy. Pretty darn happy.
Okay.
And I bet you there's a subset of the internet that hates it. But that, you know.
And then there's me.
They suck.
Who doesn't care.
And then there's you. They're like, all right. I don't have baggage for it.
Yeah.
But imagine you're reading Iron Flame right now. Let's say the next book wasn't coming out next year. Let's say it comes out 15 years from now. And there's an aspect of that book that you're like, just say it. Just say it.
No, that's not the same thing.
And then you're rewarded, and there it is. You got it. Boom, bada bing, bada boom. Healed.
Right.
Now, I hope they say it more. Now, once you feed me once, I need more. But
yeah, with what you got.
I should be very happy. And again, I'll see The Phantom Menace in the theaters, and they will say it many times in that movie. Mm-hmm. And hopefully one day Revenge of the Sith gets re-released in cinemas, and I can definitely hear Palpatine say it.
How does he say it?
Well, it's when he's telling Anakin about how to save, like, potentially save a life.
I just want to hear you say it in his voice.
Midichlorian.
Oh, that wasn't good.
Well, he doesn't say it in Palpatine, like, he's saying it like in
senator voice?
in Chancellor voice. Yeah, he's not full on.
Bummer.
He's not a midichlorian. He's not. He doesn't.
I mean, maybe you hear it if he comes towards the facility again in this show.
God, I love that movie. I read it just because it's so good. But that's a topic for a different day. As soon as you said that and got me thinking, my brain immediately went to him going, henceforth, you will be known as Darth Vader.
Audience,
welcome to our life.
You will do this for a straight 30 minutes.
This is a glimpse. I'll just laugh. I'll laugh in a corner, right? Or I'll be sitting on the couch and I'll just start giggling. And you'll just be like, what are you doing? What are you laughing about? What's so funny? Because we're,
you know, shame on me for asking at this point in our relationship.
You kind of know what it is at this point. Yeah, exactly.
I just always ask in case it's not.
And then you ask and you're like, what's so funny? And I'm like, oh, I'm just thinking about Anna Cohen. What have I done?
You sound like the bear from like Yogi Bear.
Yogi Bear. Hey, boo boo.
Yeah.
What have I done?
Yeah, it's like I'm the same inflection. But yeah, no, every at least once a week in the house. That's what I'm hearing.
But yeah, yeah. So yeah, back to the Bad Batch here, just to close up here. They said the word. It was nice to have that fun animal connection. I thought that was really cute and good, beautiful animation. I always like that. There's a bigger fish always. So just a good life lesson. Never know what you're going to run into out in the wilds of the unknown.
The small fish were harbingers for the big fish.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. I don't know if that was like a hint that maybe there's still some darkness in Ventress. Like she tapped in and saw all these beautiful creatures and this big monster comes to like, and I was like, not intentionally. I didn't try to bring that, summon that creature. I'm like, oh, maybe the duality of you is still there. I don't know.
I don't think the duality would ever leave.
Her stance in the galaxy is interesting. Is she bounty hunter? Is she just kind of nomad off
on
her own?
She had an interesting uniform on.
Yeah. It's a new one as far as I recall.
It looks kind of like she was a cadet in an army.
I think she has new lightsabers too, but from what I remember in Dark Disciple. I know it's yellow because she loses her red ones because Barriss Offee steals them.
Okay.
In the Clone Wars. So these are new blades for her. And yeah, a lot of Ventress. I mean, frankly, the benefit of this is if you're a fan of Ventress, you know that there's a lot more coming.
Yeah.
So you are well fed. Despite getting like crumbs,
you got
an appetizer. Right, you got your prosciutto and maybe some cheese, a little bit of bread for your charcuterie board, and now you're waiting for your filet mignon with some nice roasted potatoes and some broccoli, and then your dessert of creme brulee is coming as well.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say chocolate lava cake.
No, this is an Outback. Who serves it? Is that Outback that serves that?
Everyone serves a chocolate lava cake.
That's right. Just, you know, varying degrees of goodness, I guess.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, I was going for like a fine dining establishment, so I was thinking the creme brulee.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you're right. More to come. I'm very sure.
More is coming. And in a way, this is kind of, much like last week's episode was a setup for this week's episode of like that ending being like, oh, who is the person? Is it Ventress? Yeah. Is it Cad Bane? Is it someone else? So we got that answer. It was Ventress. We got to think maybe she has some role yet to play in this season. I think if I'm speculating responsibly, I think that the big thing of this series might be the choice Omega is going to have to make.
I don't want to talk about it.
But we're not ready for that conversation
I'm not ready
yet.
For it. I'm shutting it down. Deal
we'll deal with it. So that's something to look forward to. At least that's what it's set up.
Talk about it on X or Twitter. Don't talk.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll actually see what happens in the next coming weeks here. But any final thoughts on this episode before we get out of here?
No, love seeing old faces with current faces.
Worlds are colliding. I think
is
a good way to say it.
And I like it.
Yeah, you like when your books interweave with each other and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and this is just another example of that in a different setting.
Yeah.
So. Good stuff. Can't wait for next week when someone else shows up. Tech comes back. And
I mean, we know Cad Bane's coming.
Cad Bane kills Ventress, who then is avenged by Shadow Soldier Tech, who is brainwashed.
Oh, my gosh.
And AZ comes in and destroys everything.
If anything happens to AZ, I will riot.
Yeah.
I will storm...
I know, they keep threatening Pabu's destruction here, and I'm like, AZ better survive.
At this point, just do it.
Just end Pabu, but save AZ. If that's the cost, I will do it.
Destroy it or leave it alone.
Whatever needs to be done to save AZ, I will do.
I know, you sound a little like Anakin.
I sound like Anakin. And he was right. I am the chosen one.
Oh my god.
Okay, someone had to do it.
That's a sign for us to wrap up. This is a sign to put a pin in it. Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good evening.
Yeah, everybody, I hope you had a good time listening to this episode. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode in this galaxy, and we hope to continue the conversation we did on our social media. And until then, may the Force be with you. Take care.